Open your Bibles again to Luke chapter 18. This is a rather unique chapter, and going on to a little bit into chapter 19, because the theme of this chapter is coming to God and how you come to God. And Jesus, again, was presenting himself as the Messiah, and the responsibility of Israel was to be looking for the Messiah and believing in him. But the nation of Israel was not looking for the Messiah, at least not looking for the Messiah to come and save them from sin and death. They were looking for God to save them from Gentile oppression. They were happy to talk about the kingdom of God. But they thought they were already in good standing because they had the blood of Abraham running through their veins. So Jesus taught them, and therefore taught is teaching us, how to come to God. And they were to come, as we have seen in the first part, they were to come with persistence. The Lord encourages us to be persistent in prayer, persistent in coming, persistent in seeking him. And if you're not a Christian and you're struggling with what it is to be a Christian, there's a persistence in praying, dear God, save me. Dear God, save me. Save me, and keep coming and keep asking, because when we come to him, he says he will never cast us out. He never says no. But we're to be persistent, and persistent in our prayers for one another. And they also have humble faith. Not like the Pharisees, who were self-righteous, but like the publican, the tax collector, who was a sinner. And we're looking at a passage now that we are to come as little children. This is an amazing passage. It's only three verses, and it's astounding. There's a lot of things about this that I know in part. But it's sort of amazing to ponder the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is saying in this passage. His words were a rebuke to the Pharisees and to the people. His words are instructive for us. We know that we must come to God to be saved. But coming to Christ is not just adding him on to our lives. Coming to God and coming to the Lord Jesus is trusting only in him, not in us. In talking about coming to God, he spoke of some of the positive things you're to do. He spoke of some of the negative things that you're not to bring with you. But the point of this is that Christ alone saves us. And this salvation is by God's grace alone. And that is also emphasized in our passage today. But Jesus presents this in really a startling way. Coming to Christ is revealed as coming as an infant and as a child. This does not mean that you can only be saved in your childhood, obviously. There are many people who come to salvation as an adult. But you must come in one sense with persistence, with humility, and like a little child. And this is not in some psychological theories. When I was studying psychology in college, there were those who taught that you can sort of start over in your own life. And this would involve therapy in which you would lie down on the floor in the fetal position, as if you were being born. And then you would crawl around, and then supposedly you would start over in your life a new beginning. That's a bunch of rubbish, but anyway, it's a theory. A theory from a godless position of looking at starting over. That theory accomplishes nothing. But this is not what Jesus is teaching. Jesus taught receiving Christ is simple faith like a little child. And this also emphasizes what Jesus was talking about. It emphasizes the grace of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not the working of man. It is not anything that we can do. Salvation is of the Lord. That statement was taken with Jonah. And he states that when he's in the belly of the fish, the large fish that swallowed him. Helpless and hopeless. And he thinks of salvation. He says, salvation is of the Lord. There's nothing Jonah could do to get out of the belly of the fish. If he was to be saved, if he was to be rescued even from that situation, it would be the Lord doing that. And that truth is then enlarged to each and every one of us. If the Lord doesn't save us, we shall never be saved. We have nothing to bring to God. We simply receive what he freely gives to us. And Jesus is the Son of God, and he saved us by being the Savior that died for us upon the cross. And we trust in him alone. And Jesus advanced the idea of turning away from yourself and looking to him alone for the salvation that only God can give. And sometimes we see that more clearly as we grow in our Christian lives. But we come with childlike faith. So let me read this passage again, and then we'll sort of pull it apart a little bit. Then they brought infants to him. And again, I can't just read the passage. I have to sort of make a comment as we go. They were repeatedly bringing infants. Notice the word infant here. We'll talk about it. It's different from children that is in verse 16. It's being brought to him that he might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they were telling people, hey, stop, you know. Jesus is here to do something really important with the adults. He is going to teach with authority. He doesn't really have time for the children. There sort of was the practice of the rabbis, as the rabbis would hold the children and bless them. But the disciples said, well, we don't have time for that. This is Jesus. He's doing miracles. Jesus is teaching with authority. He comes with a message that we need to hear and we need to receive. So stop bringing the kids. And Jesus called to them and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, verily, I say to you, truly, I say to you, amen, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Now you look at that and you can say, well, yeah, that's really nice. What does that mean? I mean, just three verses. This is harder to teach than any other part of this passage. But you're going to see all these different aspects as you come toward the end of this passage, and you get to the end of this passage and the beginning of the next chapter. And all of these things are going to be put together in the last story. You're going to see persistence. You're going to see humility. You're going to see childlike faith. There's a negative example of that with the ruler. There's a different example of that with the disciples. And then you go to Jericho, and it all takes place there. You see the whole picture of these ones coming to God. But here it is, this children. The word that's used in verse 15 is a word that means an infant from birth until that infant is weaned, until that infant is eating solid food, which means a baby, a little baby. And the parents were bringing their babies. You have to remember that infant mortality was greater in earlier days than it is in our day. But there were many little babies that got sick and died. And the Puritans had the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." I prayed this when I was a little kid. "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." That's kind of a grim prayer for a little kid to preach and pray when going to bed. And I used to pray that, I used to say that, and then pray for some of the things that we were praying for as a family. But that's because there were many times with children, even in Puritan days, that died in childhood. In fact, most of the people that you read about in earlier days had more children that did not grow up to adulthood. So the parents wanted God's blessing upon the children. And here is Jesus performing miracles. They're looking at this, they're trying to decide who he is. Many thought he was at least a prophet from God because he was doing miracles that only God could do. The Old Testament says the Messiah will come doing, because he is God, will be doing things that God can do. And so the people wanted to put their children in his arms for his blessing. And he saw this as something that was very wonderful. The disciples saw it as something that was annoying. And it was in the way of the ongoing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were attempting to stop it. What's interesting is in verse 16, it says, "And Jesus called to them, saying..." It doesn't really need to say that. It really, what's important in that, it should have just said, "And Jesus said." And Jesus said, "Permit the children to come to me." That's the important, is what he's saying. But Jesus called to them. And that means an authoritative call. So this is the teacher, the one who is leading his disciples. He says to his disciples, "Come to me," and he's speaking in the with an authority tone. That's what that means. He's calling them with authority. This is Jesus speaking powerfully to his disciples. And he said to them, "Permit the children to come to me." He says, "Make it happen. Don't stop it from happening. Make it happen that the little children are brought to me." Now, the word that's used for children here refers from all the way from the point of birth all the way to where a child becomes more mature, where the child becomes a young man or a young lady. We refer to the children. And when you're as old as I am, I look at Matthew and I say, "You're still a child." Well, Matthew doesn't feel like a child, but you look at those who are younger, but this is speaking of children. They go until they're a young man, but that's the word that's used. A newborn to a child of advanced age. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, there's a verse where it is spoken of, a child is spoken of in terms of immaturity and spiritual immaturity. And this is kind of a rebuke, a kind of a strong rebuke when you hear it. But the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, "Brethren, do not be children." Now, you'll notice that I've never stood up here and said to all of you, "Stop acting like little children." I would have to have apostolic authority, and I would have to have the Holy Spirit to say that kind of thing to all of you. But it's the word that's used for children here. And it says, he said, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. You need to be more advanced in your thinking. You've grown up. You need to think more about who you are and who God is, and you need to be more grown up. He's speaking to the Corinthian Christians. He says, yet in evil be babes. That's another word different from the word that is used for baby here in this passage. There are a number of words for babies. Yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature, be a child growing into maturity. So when he used the word child, it can mean someone who is really immature in their understanding and growing to a greater understanding, which is true of all of us. And then he says something that is just simply astounding. Don't stop them and keep preventing them. Don't do that. He says this, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It's literally the rendering that the kingdom of God belongs. The domain of God's kingdom belongs to them. Now, that statement really is startling. Because these parents are bringing little infants. That's the first part. That means these little ones have to be carried like this and placed in Jesus' arms. And he's saying, the kingdom of God is a domain for them. And I say, they have faith? And I would say, no. They're little children. Now look at that, and it says, that's an amazing thing. It would be enough if Jesus Christ simply said, permit the little children to come to me and stop hindering them. Period. He could just say. But when he says the kingdom of God, that's God's domain. In history, that involves the whole of creation in Genesis chapter 1. God is the king over his dominion. He put the tree in the garden so Adam and Eve would understand, though they are king and queen of the whole of the earth, they are the superintendents of all of the earth, mankind is. Yet, that one tree was a reminder to them, yet, they are not over God. They are to be obedient to God. It wasn't a poison tree, it wasn't a bad tree. God says, that one tree, do not eat of it. On the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. But that tree represents my authority over you. I call it a worship tree. Because every time Adam and Eve walked by the tree and walked away from the tree, they are saying, God has appointed us as king and queen over this earth. But we are to be obedient to God. And he is greater than we are. We're not king and queen over God. King and queen in this earth, but God is the ruler. God is the king. When they sinned, it's the rebellion in the kingdom, and the earth has been in rebellion ever since. Israel as a nation was a presentation of, in that sense, the kingdom. The church has been, in that sense, a presentation of the kingdom. When Jesus Christ comes again and you have the millennial kingdom, that will be a presentation of the kingdom. The perfect presentation will be the new heavens and new earth. But one of the stories of the Bible is paradise lost in Genesis chapter 3 and paradise reestablished in Revelation 21 and 22. And the whole is the story of God establishing his kingdom. And there's pictures of that all the way through. But now he's saying, These infants belong to the kingdom. When I'm at school and teaching, usually when I'm teaching about the God who saves, someone always asks me, what happens when babies die? And this passage, I think, speaks to that issue. But what happens when babies die? And I say to them, well, there's no age of accountability. People sometimes talk about an age of accountability, that a child is not accountable until they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, something in there. An age of accountability. The age of accountability is not true because anyone who can die is accountable. If no child ever died until they were 8 or 9 or 10 years old, then I would say there's an age of accountability. That if an infant can die, they die because the wages of sin is death. And that infant is a sinner in Adam, because Adam's sin is passed on to his every single one of his children. And they're not sinners by choice because they don't have opportunity to choose. But they are sinners by nature. They are sinners in Adam, and sometimes a little bit sinners by choice. You know how I know that? Not that I'm speaking about Will and Katie, because I never bring them up, but when you have this little baby, and the baby cries because it's hungry and needs, the other is they need their diapers changed. So they go, and if you don't move fast enough, then they go, and sometimes you can say, I think they're mad. I think they're really unhappy. And you feed them or you take care of them, and they're fine again. Now, I'm not saying that's a great sin, but it's amazing to see that they can be unhappy, really unhappy. So there's no age of accountability. And anyone and everyone who is saved must be saved by God in Christ. I know that's true. So, from God's perspective, God could save none. God could save some. Or God could save all. Now, I know that God saved one because of David. And David had an affair with Bathsheba. She became pregnant. God said, this child will die. So David prayed, and he wept, and he prayed, and he prayed. And then he looked at his servants, and he recognized that the child had died, so he asked, and they said yes. And so David cleaned himself up and went on his business. And his servants were concerned about this. They said, how could you be so distraught? And then all of a sudden, everything changes for you. And David said this, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me, that the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? And then he says this key statement. I shall go to him. I shall go to him. But he will not return to me. So David is saying, that baby is where I will be. He says this not by his wisdom. He says this by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. To be in the place where David is, and for David to be in the place where this child means that baby was saved. And I look at that and I say, this makes me think. And I'm going to give you my opinion. But when God says, let the little children, let the little infants and the children come to me. I take that to mean that God, and this is my opinion, based on this and based upon the story of David, that God saves every baby. He saves them all. And I leave this in the hands of God, who is good. But I look at this passage, and when Jesus says, and such belong, the kingdom of God, they belong to the kingdom of God. How could he say that about a little child? And maybe this little child dies. That's an amazing thing for him to say about this little child. Because there's no faith. There can be a little bit of anger at times, but there's no faith. There's no recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God. The baby doesn't look up in the face of Jesus and say, oh, you're the Son of God, and you know, you're going to die on the cross to save me from my sins. But he says, these little ones, let them keep bringing these ones, because the kingdom of God belongs to them. That's an amazing statement. So I don't really know. But based upon that, based upon David, I know God saved one. And I think, based upon that statement, I think that a baby that dies is in the arms of Jesus, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, in God's kingdom. What's interesting is he takes that statement and he says it in a universal way to us. Because this passage is not really about what I just got through talking about, the God saving infants in when they die. But he said, truly, I say to you. He's still talking to the disciples. He's still speaking to them. And he says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter at all. Now he's talking about a child from birth to becoming advanced in childhood. It's an emphatic statement. This is one of the things that is involved in coming to God. You must become like a little child. And he says, whoever, which means everyone. Everyone who comes must have this characteristic. You're going to see that at the end of this chapter with adults coming as a little child. And you say, whoever does not receive the kingdom, that means to get something, to take possession of something. When you come to God, you come as a child saying, I need what only you can provide. I need what only you can provide. One of the reasons why, we talked about it with Sunday school with the children, we talked about, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I need to do is follow, a little song we sing. The Lord took the children of Israel in a place where there's no food, there's no water. Why did he do that? Because he wanted them to know that he was the one who provides for them. They had no water. They had no food. They go out into the wilderness, and they go the wrong direction. They go south instead of going up to the north where the promised land was. But he takes them first into the wilderness where there's nothing, and they're like, we're all going to die. They're not going to die because the Lord's going to provide for them. Even if he has to put bread on the ground and water out of rocks, he will provide for them. And they simply are to trust him like a little child, saying, God has led us into the wilderness. There's nothing here. God will provide. How is he going to provide? I don't know. But he will provide. Why? Because he's the one who said, I'm leading. He's leading us. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. The pillar of cloud by day moves, and the pillar of cloud by fire. This is God moving and telling you, this is time for you to move. Pack up your tents. Let's go. When he stops, you stop. All you have to do is follow. Like a little child. You don't have to understand. You aren't given directions. You aren't given anything. You follow like a little child. In the kingdom of God, we are to come receiving, to receive what God offers. We don't come with something in our hand to offer, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. That's the mentality of Rock of Ages. It's the mentality of many of the songs that we sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, the sweetest framed argument. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus, save me. How does he do that? Through the cross. The wonders of the cross, where the work of our salvation is accomplished. And as a little child, we reach out to God and say, can you give me this? Can you give this to me? Can you save a sinner like me? Can somehow you be propitiated? Can your wrath be satisfied with a sinner like me? I receive what you freely give. But God has always been concerned about children. Because, and I don't have time to read this, but I'll give you the verses to read. God told the parents of children in the Old Testament, teach your children. Teach your children. And if you look at, as a Jewish person, if you walk into a Jewish home, there's a mezuzah on one side of the door entrance. It's a little box. And inside that box are scripture verses. They have to be written with a feather or with a reed, with black ink on parchment. This is the tradition of the Jews. But if you go and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, that's a passage that goes on the paper that's inside the mezuzah. And it talks about teach your children. And it says, the word of God should be on your hand, on your forehead, on the doorpost. Teach your children. They are to be taught about God. The Mosaic covenant is a covenant that covers all the children of Israel, including the children. So the Lord is saying, as parents, you need to make sure your children are taught about God, the God who is. So when they see, they should see on your doorpost the truth of God. They should see when they're working with you and see on your hand you're working. You should be telling them about God and look at you and you see on your forehead. What the Jews did is they nail a little thing on the side of their house. They put it in a little scroll. And probably many of them don't even know what's on it. I say that knowing that people are people. But they probably don't know. But it talks about teaching your children. And then you go to Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. You go read it. Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 through 21. And both of them talk about putting it on the doorpost of your home, putting it on the head. So they had phylacteries. So the Jews today, when they pray, they have their morning prayers. They take a box. They have verses inside of them, and they tie it on their forehead. And they have a box on their forehead with the verses that are meaningful to them. And they have it there, and they take their left hand, and they bind their left hand with another box that have verses in it. And they have the box on the door. Is that what I think God was talking about? I say, no. What he's talking about is that everywhere your child looks, they should see the Word of God. And they should be hearing about the Word of God. And you as parents are important in teaching the children. Because God is concerned about children in the Old Testament. Not only that they would grow up, but the things that they put are the Shema, hear. Hear, the Jewish word, the Hebrew word for hear. Hear the word and teach your children. So what does this mean for us to receive? Well, the children are still important. I want all the children to know, and I talk to them in Sunday school a little bit about this because I nag at them a little bit. But I want all the children to know, all the children, the little children, every child that's sitting here now. When I preach for you. I preach for you. I'm preaching to the adults, but I preach for the children. Why? Because you are to know God and you are to know the truth. And I don't stand up here and just preach to the adults. I want the children to hear. I think there's a little practice of taking notes. Some of the children are involved in taking notes and doing that. That's a great thing, but I want you to hear. I'm preaching for you. That's why I like the children to be here. We don't have children's church somewhere else where the children go. I want them here because the preaching of the word is for the children. It was in the Old Testament. It is for us in the church. And we must all become like a child, not in the fetal position on the floor, crawling around. We are to become like a little child when we simply are dependent upon God, totally dependent upon Him. And what's interesting is a child does not have self-righteousness. They don't have pride. They don't have preconceived ideas. They don't have arguments. A little child simply believes as you teach them. And so one of the challenges is when your child starts to grow up is to know when the transition comes in their life when they're not believing because you are the parents who have been pointing them and teaching them and teaching them, but they come to the place where they said, this is my truth. This is my truth. I understand that Jesus, that He is the Son of God. And I understand that He died on the cross to save me because I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. They have to come to the place where they say that, not because mom and dad encourages them to know that and to say that, but because that's their position. But that's to be still a child. And He's not talking about the content of faith here in this passage. He's talking about how you come to God. You come to Him with only saying, I receive what you do for me. That's why this is on the tail end of the publican and the Pharisee praying. The Pharisee comes and he prays and he says, God, you're lucky to have me. I mean, I tithe, I keep the law, I am really a nice person. And I know you're going to bless me because I'm not like that awful tax collector over there. That guy is a jerk. I know why he's here trying to pray for something. I don't know. I don't even know why he wastes his time here. But I'm not like that. And so he comes with, they come with their halo already installed. Holier than thou. And they say, God, he's praying. He's talking to God. God said, I don't hear him. And there's this publican over there saying, God, is there any way that you could be merciful to me, the sinner? Merciful to me, the sinner. There's no excuses. There's no explanation. You know, I had to be a tax collector because I needed to do something. So I just went with Rome and we're taking taxes and it's kind of worked out pretty well for me. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch like me? When you see yourself as a wretch and you see yourself as helpless and hopeless, you're like a child. And you come to God and say, is there any way you can take my hand? Is there any way that you can save someone like me? And when you come to that, that's when God says to you, you have come like a little child. Looking for what God does completely for you. It's a wonderful thing when you see your children depending upon you. And when your children are from 1 to 10, I always say when my children were 1 to 10, I thought I was a wonderful dad. I really thought I had it. And I talked to Mrs. Wearson, and she straightened me out on that. Because Mrs. Wearson, I said, you know, if you do a good job with your children from 1 to 10, the teenage years will be a breeze. She pulled me aside. And Mrs. Wearson, if you know Mrs. Wearson, she's in heaven. She's a wonderful person. But she was not intimidated by me at all whatsoever. And she said, "You have no idea what you're talking about." So that's nice to know. You know, correction on the spot. It's happened a number of times for me. And she's right. Because as your children grow and as they get to be teenagers, it's catching up and trying to figure out what's going on and doing the best you can. Mrs. Wearson said, "There were many times when my children were sound asleep, I went in and got on my knees at the foot of their bed and prayed for them. Dear God, help them." But we become like a little child, like the 1 to 10 little child, saying, can you save me? Childlike faith. And that has to do with children being saved, but it also has to do with us as adults not coming with a sense of our greatness, but we come with a sense of our need. And really, we can only have that by the grace of God. If God saves every baby by his grace, the gift of faith being given to them, the gift of grace being given, then so be it. But if God saves us, he saves us when we come with that childlike faith, simply depending upon God. And what's wonderful is we always remain a child of God because we're always dependent upon him. You know, I'm thankful that when your kids grow up, you raise them, in one sense, to be independent of you. You don't want them to be 25, 30 years old coming up and saying, "Could you tie my shoes for me, please? I don't know how to tie my shoes." Well, you should have learned that. You know, so we teach our children to be standing on their own. Actually, really, they're under our authority, and we watch them to go to be, hopefully, under God's authority. That's the goal. But this whole process is an amazing process, but God is the God of salvation of children. And he saves us. And he saves us as adults, as simply children trusting him. Well, if I had time, I'd go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, where the disciples are saying, "Who is the greatest among us?" And Jesus takes a little child. And he says, "You come like a little child." You have to become like a little child. The greatest is the one who greatly depends upon God. That's where we stand. So we're still talking about coming to God. Now we have this peace. You come as a little child, totally dependent upon the God who saves. If you are a Christian, that is how you have come. If you're not a Christian, come to Christ. Come to Christ not doing great things for him. Don't wash your sins away or try to wash your sins away. Jesus justifies sinners. You come to receive, saying, "Dear God, is there any way you can save a wretch like me?" That prayer was good for John Newton. It's good for us too. Amazing grace. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give. And we're thankful that you give salvation to us not when we're high and mighty, not when we're righteous and bring our righteousness to you, supposedly, but when you save us. And when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect mediator between God and man, when Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us and you accomplished so great a salvation. Lord, we pray for those who don't know the Savior and don't know what it is to be a little child and depend upon him. Give us hearts like children to depend upon you. And we see your presence and your sufficiency in our hearts and lives. So we love you. We desire to serve you. Thank you for your amazing grace. We are saved not because of us, but only because of Christ. Our hope and trust is in him. So we bless this truth to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.